Amen, amen. Come on, clap it up, clap it up. Awesome. Good to see everybody. Welcome to Rock Church. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Come on, somebody. Clap it up for all the dads. I want to welcome you all to Rock Church today. If you're here at Point Loma at our broadcast location or all of our other campuses, everyone tuning in online, we're just glad to have you. We're blessed to have you today for Father's Day. My name is Santiago. I'm the executive pastor here at Rock Church, and it's an honor and a privilege today to bring the Word of God to you. I'm a dad myself, and so I got a picture. I want to throw it up real quick. You can see my amazing family up there. My wife, Rebecca, we just celebrated 15 years of marriage. Come on, somebody. And then my kids, you see them there. And I love this picture because this is real. It's like, hey, we're not going to get one with all of them looking, so just get the best one you can. And the little guy, Matthias, he's like, nah, I ain't having it. But my oldest son, Ezra, he's 8. My daughter, Eloise, is 6. And the twins, Adariah and Matthias, we call them the Turbo Twins, they're 4 years old. So when you see me, just say a quick prayer. Lord, give them strength, give them rest, in Jesus' name, amen? As many of you know, Pastor Miles is on sabbatical right now, and we've been praying for him to have rest and just get away. He's been studying. He's going to be coming back just filled with the Word of God and some amazing things to share with us. But with everything that's going on in our world today, he wanted to take a minute and just share something with all of you. So if you can, just turn your attention to the screen, and we have a quick video from our pastor.
How you doing, Rock family? Pastor Miles here. First, let me say I miss all of you. I've been away on sabbatical and taking a couple of courses and trying to become a better pastor, better leader of the church. And I'm enjoying my time off, but I'm looking forward to being back in July. I also want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads. Fellas, I know that we all carry a lot of responsibility with our families, and I just pray that your families have blessed you today and you feel encouraged and seen. God knows the burden he has given you and the responsibility that comes with that title, Father. So God bless all of you guys. I want to just give a word of encouragement to what's going on in our world with all the protests and the marches and the division, the shooting in Minnesota and the war in Iran, the war between Iran and Israel that's stirring up. I just want to encourage us to be reminded of who we serve, and that no matter what's going on around us, that we keep our focus on the main thing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, I'm going to read something to you just to encourage you to stay focused on Jesus, and that you put all your energy in being a light and not adding to the darkness and not getting dragged into the divisive conversations, but representing the Lord in those conversations. Let me read Philippians 2, 14, 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Ooh, don't complain, don't dispute. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault amidst a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as a light in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run the race in vain or labored in vain. Let's be a light in every conversation we're in, and let's watch what we say, the tone we have, because the world needs the gospel and Christians and the love of God more now than ever before. So let's make sure we keep our focus on that. So God bless all of you, and I'll see you next month.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Miles, we love you. Thank you for always encouraging us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And we're praying for you that you're getting everything you need on your sabbatical. Amen? Well, I'm so expectant today. I spent some time just praying for the service, praying for all of you. And I really believe and I'm confident that God is going to speak to us today. I'm believing that God would reveal himself in a new way to everybody that is at service today. And so let's pray and let's just believe that God is going to meet us here. Amen. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day, God. We pray that that we would hear your voice today through your word, Lord, that you would draw us near to yourself. And Lord, I pray that there would be revelation. I pray that there would be healing and freedom today, Lord. I pray that even scales would fall from the eyes of those that need it, Lord, that we would have a new level of spiritual discernment to hear what your word says, Lord. And so we love you and we thank you, God. We ask for your presence in this place. Lord, we need your presence in our lives. Our world needs your presence. Thank you that we're the conduit, Lord. So speak to us today. Reveal yourself to us today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Well, the title of the message today is Our Father in Heaven. Wow, right? Father's Day, Our Father in Heaven. But the message isn't really going to speak only to fathers. This message is going to speak to everyone. Being that it's Father's Day, I want to lean in a little bit to this reality that our Father in Heaven is the perfect example of fatherhood. This is something that we see through the life of Jesus as the Son of God, and what Scripture tells us about his relationship with his Father in Heaven. Can we just pause real quick and agree that everything we need for our life could be found in Jesus? Amen? Come on, can we just agree that he's the perfect model of how we should live our lives, how we should act as Christians, how we should talk to other people, interact with other people, and how we should have a relationship with our Father in Heaven. I've heard it said that Jesus Christ is perfect theology. His life, his death, and his resurrection, it's the whole package. And if we can get that right, if we can be a little bit more like Jesus, then I think we'll do what God wants us to do. Can I get a good amen from somebody who believes in Jesus? Come on now. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start there today, and this is the first book of the New Testament. And if you're new to the Bible, I want to encourage you to check out our Disciple Essentials classes, because one of them in particular, Disciple Essentials 1, will give you a very consumable overview of what the Bible is and how we should be reading it and approaching it. And so we have that available for anyone who is kind of new to the Bible. I was that way at one point, and so please go to sdrock.com/next-steps, and if you hit Rock University, you'll see the dates for the upcoming classes for that. Now, all throughout Scripture, Jesus constantly referred to the God of heaven as his Father. This wasn't a new concept for the Israelites. See, they had an idea of God as their Father, but it was a little bit different than how Jesus was referring to him. See, they would think of the Father more of how you would think of a potter and clay, this creator and the created thing. See, but Jesus, when he spoke of his Father in heaven, he wasn't speaking in the same way. He was speaking more of a familial type of relationship, one that would denote an actual father and a son relationship, not the creator and the created thing. In fact, the passage we're going to read in a minute, the Apostle Matthew actually uses a very specific word in the Greek to denote what he sees and how he sees Jesus talking about his Father. And the word that's translated in English in this passage we're going to read as Father is actually a very specific word that would be used to denote this father-son relationship, like my dad. There's another word Jesus uses that is the word Abba, and it's this very personal, intimate father type of word. See, Jesus invites us into this kind of relationship with the Father when he gives us the model prayer. Some of you may have heard it referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And it comes from Matthew chapter 6. And in this passage from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching his followers how to pray. Many of you know this prayer, and some of you may be hearing it for the first time, but let's read it together. And it won't be on the screen, so I'm just going to read it, and you can just listen in. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13, and it says this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I could preach a whole message on just that passage, but we'll save that for another time. But in this prayer, Jesus is setting a foundational shift in our thinking. He's affirming what we know the rest of Scripture to tell us, that once we've been born again, we're adopted into the family of God. We become sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. We're no longer orphans. Now, this is tough for many of us to grasp because our experiences and relationships with our physical fathers here on earth may have unfortunately jaded our view of our Father in heaven. So there's some spiritual discernment that we need to grasp, some freedom, some revelation about our Father in heaven that we need in order to correct that perspective. Scripture tells us that the God of the world, this world, Satan, he's real. Can I get an amen? I mean, he's not a metaphor. Like, the devil's real. Demons are real. Spiritual warfare is real. I know there's some theology out there that says it's not real, but I'm here to tell you that it's real. This is what Scripture tells us. And Scripture says that the God of this world, the devil, has blinded the eyes of those who don't believe. And the only cure for that blindness is the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Come on. But we have to recognize that the enemy wants us to have a distorted view of our Father in heaven, and he's going to do that however he can. I want to take a quick survey. How many of y'all are the type of people who buy the little glass protector for your phone? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay, come on now. I'm not talking to you Android people. Y'all need Jesus right away. I'm talking about iPhone people, the real saints. Come on, somebody. But seriously, if you spend the extra $40 or so for that glass protector, raise your hand. I can see you on the campuses, everybody out there. Okay. How many of y'all are the ones who you're just living out here on the edge and you don't have a protector, you don't have a case, you don't got nothing. You're just like, I'm good. There's a couple of hands. Okay, y'all are crazy. Y'all are crazy. Well, I used to be one of those people, and what happened over the last couple of years as the cost of these phones kept skyrocketing, I'm like, I better get a protector just to take care of my investment here. Amen? And so my wife and I decided, okay, a couple rounds ago of new phones, we're gonna get the protector and we're gonna put it on there. And thank God, because I think I have a crack right now on the little glass thing, like literally. I'm so thankful that it's on there. But anyway, so we got our last phone, probably last year or something. We get the glass protector on there. And I'm telling you, not even a week goes by, and my wife shattered the protector on her phone. The crazy thing is, she didn't even tell me. She's just riding around with a broken protector on her phone. And I look over, and she's like struggling to send a message. I'm like, what happened? And she's like trying to not show me. And I'm like, what? Just show me. And it's like completely shattered. It's like a chunk of the corner came off. I'm like, what happened? I don't know. But it was very hard for her to send messages, to look at pictures. She couldn't type the right way because it was broken. In the same way, the enemy has used our broken relationships with our fathers on earth to distort our view of our Father in heaven. See, it wasn't until my wife, 6 months later, went to get a new protector on her phone that she goes, oh my gosh, I can see everything now. So what I'm hoping that we're gonna grasp today is this. This is the big idea for the message. Write this down if you're taking notes. It's this, that our experiences with our earthly fathers can't define our experiences with our Father in heaven. Because he is the perfect model of true fatherhood offered to us through relationship with him. See, our earthly fathers and our Father in heaven are not the same thing. They're not even close. It doesn't matter how good or bad your experience or relationship with your Father here on earth is or was, God has so much more to offer us. And so I have 4 points today that we're going to go through that I believe are going to help illustrate some of these key attributes of our Father in heaven. And the goal is that we leave here today with a new lens, with a new glass protector on our view and our perspective of our Father in heaven. I'm praying that we leave here today a little bit closer to our Father in heaven. Can I get an amen? So our first point is this, that our Father is our provider. He provides for our every need. He provides for everything that we are. We have to know that God is our ultimate provider. And maybe you had a father on earth that wasn't a provider. Maybe you grew up with a fear of lack because your father wasn't a provider. Maybe he provided for himself and left you the scraps. These are realities that many of us have experienced, but we can't allow these experiences to shape how we see our Father in heaven. We have to believe what God says in Scripture despite what we've seen or experienced in our lives. There's another conversation in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus is encouraging his followers not to worry about their more practical needs. And he says this in verse 31. He says, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, I learned this to be true when I first took my first position here at Rock Church. I had spent 12 years in the corporate world, and I had built a pretty good career trajectory, and I was doing well financially, and my wife and I were doing everything that we thought we were supposed to. And then I had this pivotal moment where there was another opportunity for a different job from somebody that I had worked with. And so I had already dusted my resume off. I was getting ready for that. And it was like this ideal opportunity. It was like, we're going to build this position around you. We're going to negotiate your salary. It was close to my house, like a no freeway. I'm like, man, thank you, Lord. And then at the same time, the opportunity to come on staff here at Rock Church happened. And it was as an associate campus pastor at our City Heights campus. Shout out to Rock Church City Heights. Come on, somebody. City Heights. I still got it. But you see, I had this pivotal moment where, you know, I'm a finance guy. My background is business and financial management. So I'm looking at our bills and I'm looking at this spreadsheet that I keep. And I'm like, if I go to this route with the church, my salary is going to get cut in half. And it doesn't work. See, when you do a spreadsheet, it's all formulas. The spreadsheets don't lie. They tell the truth. As long as the formula's right. And I'll tell you, the number at the bottom was red. And I said, this doesn't work. But when I prayed about what to do, God said, here's what I want you to do. He said, do whatever you want. You want to take this other cushy job? Go ahead. I'll still use you. You'll still have a kingdom impact. You'll still do things for me. But if you choose this one, you'll see me move in ways that you won't need me to move over here. Because you could just do it yourself. And so as I prayed and I pondered and I recognized the call on my life to be a pastor, I said, I got to take this one. I got to take this one. And I can tell you a number of stories and testimonies that where I actually tangibly saw God come through for me and my family. But perhaps the best one is when I took the position, I started in August of 2018. And for the rest of that year, I just trusted God. And different things happened along the course of the rest of that year. My wife's business She ended up getting a new contract for her business, and I was doing screen printing on the side back then, and so that business picked up a little bit. And so what happened was I got to the end of the year and the beginning of the following year, and I get my giving statement from the church, and I'm looking at it, and I go, huh, that's more than we gave last year. That doesn't make sense. My salary was cut in half. And so I wasn't really tracking all the things exactly, but I was just kind of trusting God. And when I went back to look, I found out that had I stayed in my other job or even taken that new job, we actually were able to bring in more the rest of that year because I trusted God. And I was doing what he wanted me to do. And the best part of that story is not that we got more money, it's that my giving went up. Come on, somebody. Where's the generosity club in the building today? That was the only way that I saw it, was because my giving had gone up. And so what I'm saying is that as believers, we have to trust that God knows what we need and when we need it. We have to know that God is our provider and that everything we have is from him. Can I get an amen? Every single thing. Before we move on, I also want to talk about how God not only is our provider for practical things, but he's provided everything about who we are. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that God formed our inward parts and that we were skillfully wrought or crafted by him. So all of the skills and the abilities and the talents that God has put in you, your ability to be an artist or a musician or good in business or good at whatever it is he's given you, because everyone has something, that's from God. And I can tell you that one of my prayers is, God, keep your hand on me. Like, search my heart. Keep me pure, because God is like this on your life. And he reminds me sometimes that he can go like that. And I don't want to be anywhere close to that. Can I get an amen? Amen. Our second point is this, that our Father is not only our provider, but he's also our protector. He protects us. He covers us. There is safety in God's presence. There's nothing like feeling the protection of a father. As a dad myself, there's nothing more that makes me feel more proud than when my kids run into my arms because they heard a noise or we're walking somewhere that's a little bit dark and they run to daddy because they know that I'm going to protect them. But how many of you know that no matter how safe my kids feel in my arms, nothing compares to the protection that their Father in heaven has for them? We see this in a passage that many of us know, Psalm 91, and it says this, that those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord, that he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Another translation says, those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that dwelling, that shelter, it means to make your home in a place. It means to take up residence, to be settled somewhere. This passage is telling us to settle ourselves in the secret place of God, and the result is that we'll build a refuge there. It's a place of safety and protection. This is a promise from God. We could take it to the bank. Amen? Here's something to think about, because we know that God has a greater purpose and a plan for our lives, and he'll often even protect us when we're unaware that he's doing it. Maybe even when we're unbelieving, we haven't even said yes to him yet. There's a period of my life, I've shared this before, that, you know, I was the party guy and I did all the crazy things that, you know, people do when they're party animals. And when I look back now at that part of my life, I could see the hand of God in certain instances where he was protecting me, he was covering me. In particular, there were trips I remember that I didn't get to go on for some reason, but I know what happened on those trips. And I look back at it, and at the time, I was upset because I didn't get to go. I didn't make it to that Vegas trip. But I know what happened. And God, in his grace, in his loving kindness, in his understanding of the greater purpose for my life and the plan that was yet to unfold, he spared me. He kept me. That's protection. Can we thank God that he knows better than we do? Amen? Come on. So we have to acknowledge and see that God is our ultimate protector. His plan for our lives is unfolding day by day, and our safety and refuge has to be in him. So what does that look like to make him our dwelling place? It looks like a prayer life where we spend time listening to his voice, not asking for things, but listening to his voice, being in his presence. It looks like a life committed to being led by the Spirit of God. It looks like a life committed to regular devotion and time in the Word. How many of you know that this is the primary way that God speaks to us? So if you're waiting for just an audible voice to tell you something, you got to get in the Word. This is where he's going to speak to us. Amen? We have to make our dwelling place in his presence. Our third point is this, that we know our Father in heaven is our protector and our provider. And our next point is that he's always present, even when we think we can't see him. I know that there's people here in the room or maybe at our San Marcos campus or Chula Vista that I'm sure there's someone at every location that knows what it's like to have an absentee father. A father that wasn't at your Little League games or he wasn't at your dance performances or he never made it to your graduation or your promotion. He was even willingly made a decision to not be there, and you know that. So we acknowledge the pain that comes from that. We acknowledge that there's trauma, and those experiences have even shaped some of us into adulthood. But we also have to acknowledge that those experiences are not the end of the story. Thank God that he offers us healing and restoration and redemption from those negative experiences. God wants us to be free from the weight that they have brought on us. We have to acknowledge that we can't allow those negative experiences to be the lens through which we see and understand our relationship with our Father in heaven. We have to know that even when our physical father wasn't there, God was always there. Scripture affirms this for us. Psalm 139 says this, starting in verse 7, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Now, I know this in particularly to be true because many people don't know, but my dad, who the person I refer to as my dad, as my father, is actually my stepdad. And I call him Dad, and I actually took his last name because he's an amazing man. He married my mother, and he's been a great husband to her. He's been a great father to me, so I just want to honor him. He's not here because he's on a road trip in his motorhome. He's roughing it in retirement. Come on. But the reality is he's not my biological father. See, I've only met my biological father one time. He wasn't in my life as a child. He didn't support us financially, my mother and I. He didn't protect us. He wasn't there when we walked out of our apartment one morning and my mom's car was sitting on bricks because they stole her rims. He wasn't there for that. He wasn't present in our life. But even though my physical father wasn't present, I can look back on those times and I know that God was there. God came through and helped. God sent the neighbor over to help my mom when nobody else was there. I know that God's hand was on my life and my mother because we always had what we needed. We had a loving family despite the father not being present until God brought my dad into our lives. And so I'm here to tell you that even when you think God isn't there, he's there. And he's forging us, he's molding us, he's calling us to be, creating us to be who he wants us to be. See, our experiences with our earthly fathers can't define our experiences with our Father in heaven, because our Father in heaven will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always present and he's always there. And my last point is this: our Father is always purposeful. There's a purpose to things that happen in our lives. This is what we know about God. Either he allows something to happen or he commands something to happen. And either way, with all the questions we have to believe that it's right, that he's good, that he's merciful, that he's unfolding the plan of our lives and using everything in it. There's a passage in Romans chapter 8, and it says this: and we know that God causes everything, say everything, everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them, for God knew his people in advance. See, this is another area where I can tell you that I know this well. See, my wife and I, when we thought we were doing everything, killing life, and we decided to try to start a family, unfortunately, we had a miscarriage. And now we had every question in the world. Like, why? Why us? Why now? What about them? But God was unfolding his plan. And I'm telling you that God used that moment to draw us to himself. I can confidently stand here and tell you that had we had that child, I probably am not here today, because our life was totally different. So God used that painful moment for my wife and I to draw us to himself for his purpose, for his glory. Was it hard? Absolutely. But whoever told us that following Jesus was going to be easy, whoever told us that following Jesus would lead to this life where we have no problems and it's all roses and everything's perfect, that person lied to us. Because there is pain, there is suffering, there's actually this concept of the theology of suffering, that God uses those moments to forge us, to make us more like his son. Because I'll tell you this, there's nobody in the world who knows more pain and suffering than the man Jesus. Scripture says that he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows, that he was stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted on our behalf. Everything that we've gone through, Jesus experienced it. He lived it. He took it. He suffered it for us. So what does that mean? It means that regardless of our experiences here on earth, the fathers who didn't provide or protect us in the way we needed, the broken men who were absent and who were not purposeful in our lives, regardless of all of that, we need a corrected view of our Father in heaven. God will always provide purpose in our pain if we keep the right perspective. Now, hear me. I'm not saying that God causes it, but he'll definitely use it. He'll use it for his glory. In a minute, we're going to pray, and I think there's two groups of people in the room. There's one group who, as we've talked about all these points, protector, provider, present, purposeful, you look back on your relationship with your earthly father, and as I was explaining some of these stories, you're like, that's me. I know that. But I'm here to tell you that one of the gateways to correcting our view of our Father in heaven and releasing the baggage and the bondage that comes with those traumatic experiences is forgiveness. There's freedom in forgiveness. Come on. So that first group of people, I want to start there, and then we're going to provide a moment for anyone who hasn't asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. But this first one has to go first, because in order to have the right perspective of salvation and Father in heaven and Jesus, you kind of have to get rid of some of that stuff. And so let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're in the room And you need to forgive your father on earth. I'm going to stand in his place. So listen to my voice and hear me as your father. And at the end of this, we're going to release it. Forgive me for not providing for you. Forgive me for not protecting you. Forgive me for not being there. I'm sorry that I wasn't the father that you needed. I'm sorry for the pain that I caused you. I'm sorry for how you saw me treat your mother, how you saw me treat your siblings. Please forgive me. I'm sorry for not teaching you about God. I'm sorry for not praying with you and reading the word with you as I should have. I didn't know. Nobody taught me. I'm sorry for being more concerned with myself than with you. And I'm asking you now to forgive me. So, Lord, we thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. And if you need to forgive your father, I just want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand. And we're going to pray and release this. Amen. I see you. I see you. I see you. God, we thank you for these people with their hands up right now. And we pray that as they forgive, as they choose to forgive, that freedom would come now in Jesus' name. That bondage, that baggage, that all the things, all the weight that they've been carrying, we lay it at your feet right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's another group of people in here that you've never given your life to the Lord, and so we're just going to do that because there's nothing better than being in the family of God. And so if that's you, just repeat this prayer in the privacy of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I've been far from you, that I've tried to live my life my own way, but I believe that you are the Son of God, that you lived, that you died, and rose from the dead. And I confess you now as the Lord of my life, and I ask Holy Spirit to come into my heart. Fill me with your presence. Make me more like you. Give me the right perspective of my Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's you, just raise your hand. Come on, somebody, raise your hand. If that's you in the building, amen. Amen. Pastor Ty is going to come out and give us some next steps, but I just want to pray. Lord, I just thank you for everyone in this service today, God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for healing. Thank you for freedom. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.